Hello, everybody, and we are back on Just My Archetype. I am jazzed. I was going to think of a lot of synonyms for jazzed, but I'm just going to say this is a very special episode. It is the first episode in which I have two guests in one interview for a very specific reason. This episode, we are looking at the archetype of the bromance. I'm going to introduce the first half of this bromance, and then he'll introduce his bromantical partner. So I am thrilled to have on the podcast a dear friend of mine, someone who put up with, you know, maybe the thirstier of tweets of mine throughout his season. He's lovely. He's now on HGTV's Hot Mess House and Hometown Takeover. He's the winner of Survivor Ghost Island and Michelle's ex on season 40. Please welcome to the podcast, my friend Wendell.
Woo! Woo!
I didn't plan to end with that, but I was thinking on the spot of something to say about season 40, and I went with that. So yeah. That's where we are.
Very nice. Thank you for introducing me that way. I love being introduced as that person. Great.
I started building you up with your accomplishments, and then I undercut it all by calling you someone's ex.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good to build someone up and then tear them down. I think what I like doing is like, first you got to get the nasty stuff out and then you build them up, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. I believe that I may have just nagged you, but I am excited for you to introduce the other person on the podcast. So I hope you build him up and then at the last minute, undercut it. That's your challenge in this introduction.
Oh man. This next guest of ours needs no introduction. He is one of my closest friends in the world. I was very lucky to play the game Survivor with him in lockstep to the end. He is from Long Island, New York, the father of Donna and Frankie and Vincent, the husband of Kristen. He is one of the best Survivor players to come out of the 30s, probably top five, I'd say. And he's just an incredible person. Mr. Dominic Abadi, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo! Yeah. That was some intro, buddy. I got to tell you, that was some intro. And you didn't knock me down.
You didn't let him down.
Well, he said I was from Long Island, and that pretty much does it for me.
Also, I like, Wendell, that you brought your own bell. I have my bell in the kitchen, and I feel powerless now that you have a bell and I don't.
It's a very strong tool on this podcast, I'll tell you. I've been on Bryce's podcast many times, and he had a bell. So this is my first podcast with a bell, so I'm very excited.
That's smart.
Dom, welcome. Thank you both for doing this. Dom, this is our first time meeting.
Yes, Hannah, it is great to finally meet you. Like we mentioned, we had a few interactions through the social media world, but nothing really concrete. So it's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me out here. I just want to say also, this is the first time I think it needs to be mentioned that Wendell and myself doing some type of collaboration ever really since the show. We speak all the time, many times a week, and we hang out and all those things, but we haven't really done anything publicly, I don't believe, right, Wen?
No, we haven't. So this is a very lucky lady.
Yeah, this is the reintroduction of the Dom.
I feel like a lucky lady.
Yes.
I'm so thankful you were both down. It was actually, I have to give some credit. This was a fan idea. I asked the fans who they wanted on the podcast. And Idle Half said, ooh, if the double isn't Dom and Wendell, Wom, then them. Wom was the name that I gave your bromance while I was podcasting your season way back in the day.
I do recall that.
We have Wom. Yeah. How did you feel about Wom being the name?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's pretty terrible.
It sounds too much like Worm.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you're right. There's not much more you can do with combining our names, I guess. So
Dendel.
I guess Dendel. Dendel. Even, you know what?
Dendel. Dominel. Dominel.
Dominel. See, I kind of intentionally wanted it to not be the sexiest name. Dominel might be too sexy.
Dominel.
Of a bromance name. I kind of like Wom.
What about Wendenick?
Wendenick. Well, that one I've heard. Wendenick.
Oh, really?
So for those who don't know, I wanted to Google the definition of bromance, get that out on top. And when you Google bromance, you get a lot of very strange photos as well. It's a lot of like men hugging.
Right. And it's, sounds about right.
It's so if you Google bromance, you can be on the same page. But the definition of bromance, according to Google, and I guess that's the most official thing we have, is a bromance is a very close and non-sexual relationship between two or more men. It is an exceptionally tight, affectional, homosocial male bonding relationship exceeding that of a usual friendship and is distinguished from normal friendship by a particularly high level of emotional intimacy. How do you feel about you reading that very weird definition?
Did I sign up for all of that?
Because even though it claims it's not homosexual in any way, the term, the reading of it, something sounded homosexual about it.
I don't know why it seems so weird now that I've read it aloud. I feel uncomfortable.
It had a lot of important words, a lot of juicy words in there, but they stress how they're all kind of detached a bit. So don't worry. We're safe.
Don't worry. It's homosocial.
Homosocial.
Homosexual.
Right. Well, it did say that. That didn't it say something about sharing a lot of hugs?
Right.
That was the Google image search. It was mostly just a couple men hugging.
Yeah. Well, we hugged 1,000 times on that island.
It also life. And it also leaves out kind of what a thing that I think of when I think bromance is. This is something that happened to Wendell and I in our season more than once. And it was like. Something may happen while we're out there, you know, regarding the result of whatever. And we would now be stuck to make a decision on what to do next. And on more than one occasion, we wouldn't even have to discuss it. We would just look at each other and just say, good. Yeah, good. And I'm not even kidding. Like, we knew exactly what our next moves were as if we were sharing the same brain at times, not all the time. Obviously, he did his thing. Sometimes I did mine. But there were moments when we had to come together where we were on the same page several times. And it was like, holy shit. Like, we really are linked, like locked and loaded. This is a real thing.
I'm just going to bounce off that. Totally agree. It seems like some of our most important conversations were our shortest conversations
right.
in the game. And we would hang out and talk for however long about anything, you know, not important about, you know, things back home, the family, what have you. But when it came to game talk, we were so locked in and we kind of had a plan as to how we would manipulate the game. And those conversations, I remember one when Seb was about to go against you, Dom, when Seb was like ready to make a move on you. And I was coming back from a confessional and Dom gave me like 3 sentences in passing. Like, yo, Seb's going to make a move on me, blah, blah, blah. We're switching it or something like that. And we were locked in and ready to go. And I think, I don't know what it was or how we clicked so early. I do know what it was because we got knocked down really early.
Right.
And we also knew each other from casting, kind of, sort of.
You have to.
Well, I have to ask you about that. I want to ask. Yeah, let's rewind to casting. Also, I know what it was. It was a homosocial male bonding relationship.
The casting thing is important because there really is a moment. There's a moment in casting that happened where you can say that's exactly what happened before we even said 2 words to each other.
But we'll get into that moment. I want to. So casting, we've talked a little bit about this podcast. On it about sort of, you know, you're in a hotel, you're doing this thing. I want to hear that moment. What is this casting moment? You guys we're obviously at the same casting. Let me hear the moment.
Okay. Who was with us in casting, Dom?
We had
Don?
Donathan, Libby, Kelly. Sebastian. We had, I'd say, about a dozen of the people that were on our season were with us in casting.
I think James.
James for sure. So you go through the week again. I don't know how in detail we're supposed to talk about this, so I'll try to keep it kind of vague, whatever. So you're at a hotel, you're on lockdown. You do things in shifts, in groups, dinner, lunch, breakfast, gym time, swim time, whatever it is. And sometimes you're with
from each other.
Away from each other, right. You're not, right. You're always distance and there's always people watching, making sure you're not conversing verbally. You can do eye contact. You can do all these other silly manipulations to try to play the game before the game, whatever it is. But it's very difficult to make anything happen. I actually have a few stories about that, but it has nothing to do with this podcast. We'll tell that another day. But anyway,
some drinks to people.
Yeah, yeah. All right, whatever. So, but
wow.
We'll talk about that on another podcast. But so throughout the week, Wendell and I would see each other. He actually played a pretty good pregame at casting because he fooled me because he came there wearing, I think he was wearing an LA Kings hat, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was giving me the impression he's a West Coast guy. He wasn't wearing any Philly gear, nothing East Coast at all. So he was already trying to set a very confusing stage. But it didn't matter to me. I liked him. I don't know what it was. Something just told me this guy, something about him. So as you go through the many stages of casting and you know that you're getting to the next stage or level or whatever it is, towards the end, you go and meet some other executives. And to do that, you have to get like in a van and drive away from where you are to another place. And coincidentally, Wendell and I were assigned to the same van in the same back row of the van. But again, still not allowed to speak to each other. He had to sit on one side. I had to sit on the other. We had casting people watching our every move. So because we couldn't speak to each other, we both got in that back row. We looked at each other. We fist bumped. We both smiled, laughed a minute, put our headphones on, listened to our music, and continued on our way. But that, to me, was the first real moment that I said, look, I haven't even said a word to this guy, and already I could tell just from that moment that if I see him out there, this is going to be my guy.
I can't believe you got away with a fist bump.
A fist bump. You believe that?
If you think about these small vans, like you're filtered in one at a time. It's not a sprinter where like you can even stand up walking. You're kind of like crawling to the back almost. I get in there first and Dom is right behind me. And I think from my perspective, it was like, man, throughout this week, we have literally seen people come and go. We've seen people get cut. And I've been watching this guy and I'm like, man, I don't know much about him, but there's something like we both made it through this thing. So I sit down and he's right behind me and we both reach up for a quick dap. And then it was like, all right, this is my guy. For somehow, some way, like we accomplished something already. And then we happen to see each other on the island.
I'm jealous. My number one got cut right at the end. And then he ended up in Big Brother, actually. But I would always sit next to him, and he would order a chicken quesadilla. And so I would order a chicken quesadilla to let him know that we were in
chicken quesadilla friends for life.
It was the Chicken Quesadilla Alliance. It was actually Ovi who ended up on Big Brother later, but he got cut like right after the last thing. And he came downstairs and he saw that I had gotten my vaccines for all the anti-vaxxer survivor alumni. You actually do get vaccines before you go out to your place.
That goes right out the window, right? You're like, oh, I gotta go. I guess I gotta get vaccinated. Okay.
Shoo me up. And he saw that I had the band-aids and that he didn't. And we had a solemn moment over our chicken quesadillas that night. So my bromance never made it to the show. So I'm happy yours did.
Yes.
Shout out to Ovi. He's a solid, solid individual.
He's very nice.
Yeah.
I got to meet him later. Oh my gosh. So your bromance started with a simple fist pump in the back of a van.
Yes. And it was very homosocial.
It was a very homosocial male bonding relationship. So other than like, you know, cause I had someone tweet and was like, well, bromance isn't an archetype. They're each their own archetype. And I acknowledge that. We're just exploring the survivor bromance. But what did you guys feel you were being cast as in casting I hate to say it, separate from each other before the fist bump turned into a true love. What were your, you know, original experiences going through casting?
Go ahead,
what would you say your separate archetypes were?
I was the black guy on the show. I mean,
you were.
Let's put that out there. I try to think how I would put myself into a box or a category, and I'm like, I guess being that I was the only one black guy out there, I was the black guy out there. Mm. So that was my archetype, I guess.
There were other black men in casting, though, in our thing.
I think there was a big athletic dude.
Yeah, and he was wearing Syracuse gear.
Yes,
right.
He looked like, I guess, the black Chris Noble or somebody.
Yeah,
he was legit.
He was giant.
Yeah,
I thought for sure he was going to be out there.
Yeah, well, maybe we wouldn't have had bromance.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I hate to say that I think there was some thought that maybe I would be in the Tony-ish category, you know, kind of anytime you're a Northeast Italian guy, you know, there's already this preconceived, you know, I didn't know if I could escape that. I actually, before I went to casting, I worked on my accent for like several weeks prior so that I don't sound like AOA. I'm going to make you spaghetti when we get out. You know what I mean? I was trying to really bring that in and not be that guy because I felt I had way more to offer than just this guy who's a New York, you know, loudmouth. So maybe originally they thought that that's what they were going to get from me, but I think I was able to kind of convert or, you know, change their thought process on that. And I think they didn't realize what they were going to get from me because I think I heard something in pregame where even Probst said he's either going to be on day one or he's going to like go the distance. I don't know. Like it really depends on his mouth, you know? So I get that. And it almost was my demise because I did open my mouth early in the game. So I think they kind of got what they thought they were getting from me, but maybe I did surprise them a little bit outside of that box a bit.
To Dom's credit, and I'm not going to make this like a podcast where I just tell everybody how great at Survivor he is.
No, you can. Please continue.
No, but to Dom's credit, I think his game is a game that could have been played on numerous seasons, and I think he could have done well on numerous seasons. And I think that was shown on our season because we had we skewed a little younger on our season. And if you heard his audition tape or whatever tape he sent to me or to his people, like Dom could have been kind of really villainous if he wanted to be, or he could,
yeah.
Like he could have played that game. And I think he adjusted his game and took on like a fatherly, more of a fatherly
big brother. I hate to say fatherly. It sounds creepy to me. Let's go with big brother.
But yeah, that's what I meant. I used the wrong.
I don't want to be anyone's daddy out there.
You heard it here first. Dom's strategy is the daddy type. No. I wanted to be a villain too. And they were like, nope, you shall gross edit it up. You do not get to be a villain. I was like, I want to be bad.
I'm sure.
You could have changed their minds, Hannah. That's up to you to change their minds. Oh, you think I'm going to do this? You know, you got to just start cutting throats.
Yeah,
I felt that like I tried, but no, it's fine. I think being a Survivor villain, not like in a human way, but like as a villain, like a fun villain would be very fun to do.
Sure. Yeah. You don't want to actually be hated. You want to be temporarily hated, you know, like, wow, what a ruthless bitch for that episode. But long term, people know that you're a good natured person at heart. You know, there's a difference. You can be ruthless.
You don't want to be a cruel person.
Exactly. You know.
So once you guys got out there, how quickly were all your questions from Jeff about each other? Like, did you feel like production picked up on the beginning of this bromance?
When?
Wow.
I didn't get anything early on. I got stuff after the Morgan vote, you know, when we both were blindsided as like collectively. Then I got, that's where I think I started to hear like those questions about, are you guys going to bond together? How are you going to get out of this pickle? You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of where the birth of it came, when we both took it in the jaw together. And then we had to come up with a game plan. And also the fact that I told you this very big secret about me having an idol. So that really melded that, you know, bond together early in the game. So I would say, yeah, right around day 9, day 10, I would say for me, I started getting the questions about the Wendell and Dom game.
I think in my case, I remember talking about you early, but I remember us having like a 5. We had our kind of crew, and I just remember knowing that I wanted you to be a part of whatever I had going on. And then, of course, obviously after Morgan, she was like, that was our girl, man. Mm-hmm. And after that, we really took one on the chin. So we had, that was like a forced bonding moment. And I think it was good to be, I guess, to be hit so hard, so early, and still on the island. We weren't Morgan. We weren't being sent back to Ponderosa, right. But we were the ones that were able to, all right, you know what? Now it's time for us to figure out how we change this thing.
Regroup.
And that forced Dom and I had we had to regroup. We had to bond. And then going forward, I guess, post-merge and all of that, I mean, it was clear that Dom and I were kind of locked in. And we had, it was a fun friendship, because we were both playing very hard, and we liked, you know, busting each other's balls a little bit and talking a little trash to each other and stuff.
Yeah.
We were having such a good time and playing at a very high level.
Anytime we went into competition against each other in a challenge, we always based our performance on the other. It didn't matter how anyone else did. It's how is Wendell doing right now, and can I beat him specifically? I didn't care about anyone else. I didn't even care about the, I mean, I did. I obviously care about the immunity necklace. But ultimately, I just wanted to be able to go back to camp and say, man, you should have held on a little longer, bro. You almost had it. You know, that one to me was, that was so like tasty to do that. But it was fun, and it was never like mean hearted. You know, it was always in fun and high fiving and mm-hmm. hugging it out at the end. And that to me is what really defines you call it a bromance. I call it a friendship. Label it what you want. But to this day, outside of the game, if we're hanging out, which it's been a while, we haven't seen each other since before COVID. But even when we did get together, we would, even at a bar, we would just bust each other's chops all night and just have the best time telling old war stories from Fiji and just, you know, all these different things. And I think what's funny about, you asked earlier, like, how do you think you were cast? Like, what do you think Propes was looking for in you when you were in casting and all those things? And you can say, yeah, maybe I was this, I was that. And you may have been that individually in the game a little bit or not. But when you have a real bond with another player, you're no longer, you can even hear it in commentary. It's not how's Dom doing, how's yeah. Wendell doing, how's like the Dom and Wendell unit doing, like as a unit. And then once it came down towards the end where one of us had to make it and one of us didn't, that's when you started to see it kind of shift apart and pull itself apart a little bit, because there's only so far you can go as a unit in this game. At some point, something has to give. You know what I mean? So when I think of bromance in that term, it's that. It's acting as a unit from the moment you decide you're going to be that unit till you get to that part where you kind of have to break off. But even in that moment of breaking off and doing your own thing and going your own way so that you can lock this game up, there's always been a respect there. There's actually one thing I just wanted to bring up that was, it threw me off. And I might have mentioned, I definitely mentioned it to Wendell in the past. I don't know if I've said it on a podcast or anything, but when we went to Final Tribal at the end, we were like that day before we went to Final Tribal, like there was nothing but love and hugs on the beach. And we were just like, man, this is such a great ride. And same with Laurel, the three of us just really had a great day. It was so good that I was so naive to think that going into Final Tribal, it was going to be all love and all this. And Wendell was the first to draw blood against me. And it wasn't even that vicious. No. It wasn't vicious. It was like, oh, Dom and his big flashy TV moves or some comment like that. Okay. And I was so caught off guard by that. I was like, wow, my guy's taking shots at me right now. But goddamn right, he should be taking shots at me. And that's when I woke up and I was like, wait, we're like competing for $1 million right now. I better get off my ass and start doing what he's doing. And you could call that might be the reason why he won in the end, because maybe he was the first to draw. You disagree. I don't know. I thought it was some comment like that. And again, this is not any, I'm talking out of respect. It's something that everyone should do. You can be best friends with.
No, it sounds like you're talking out of love.
Yeah. It's when it was over, we hugged like.
You're talking out of love. I can hear
complete
it.
Complete respect and love for this guy.
I have a rebuttal. No, I don't. But I wanted
he
to say.
He has a bell, that's for sure.
That bell, it's a strong bell, too. It's brand new. I got a 2-pack off of Amazon. But I'll send you one, Dom. Don't worry. But when I was thinking about our game and our bromance, and historically with bromances, you always think of JT and Fishback. And
yeah,
that was actually the first season of Survivor that I ever watched. And that was the season that got me into Survivor and made me think, man, I want to play this game. And fast forward to Dom and I being on a season and having such a strong bromance. I think it's kind of a full circle moment, but regarding our bromance, I think what was so cool about the comp, what's so funny?
I'm laughing Dom is like, when you were saying that, like squinting his eyes, like
I was burping and I didn't want to burp.
I don't know
the
why.
Camera.
Okay. I'm misreading.
Let's hear it.
Let's try to be respectful.
Okay, great.
Not at all.
I thought it was related to what you were saying. Keep going, Wendell.
So I was just, that was kind of a full circle moment, for me, but regarding our season and our bromance, what I thought was so cool about Dom and I is how Dom was speaking about competitions and how it was like, man, I'm looking over to see how Dom is doing. That is my measuring stick. I want to see how and what Dom is doing. And I want to talk trash to him, or I want to get in his head, or I can't wait to joke about it with him. When we get back to camp, I think there was something that made it, where like it might have been after a puzzle. And you came back and you were like, hey, Wen, if I would have just got, oh, it was after the pyramid puzzle. And you said something to me like, man, it's only a four piece puzzle.
I envisioned that the top of the pyramid had a flat top to it. That it wasn't a pointy pyramid, which makes no sense because all pyramids are pointy at the top. But I was thinking of like a Mayan temple kind of thing. I don't know. It was a complete brain fart. It was like day 35. But that was fun the way you.
He comes back to camp and he's like, hey, Wen, man, I would have got you if it was a flat top pyramid. I was envisioning a flat top pyramid.
Good. That
like,
was
yeah.
And all you do is laugh about it when it's over. You got me there.
Sometimes you guys were competing against each other and sometimes you were really working together. Was there this feeling of electricity when the bromance got to do things in step?
I think there was some sort of electricity when we got to work together. There was the one challenge where it was later in the game and I was one of the people I was chosen as, I guess, someone to pick a teammate. And of course, the person that I had to pick was Dom because I was just excited for us to have the two of us compete against anybody. Really, I'd put the two of us against any duo in Survivor. But we could put a pin in that. But yeah, this challenge had to do with us running up some stairs and dropping a spindle down what was kind of like a roller coaster of a thing. And while the other person would run down the stairs and retrieve it, and we'd have to add more and more. And the team that would allow their one of their spindles to drop would be eliminated. And me and Dom did pretty well at that.
Yeah, and I think that's like the great contrast, but like it completes the circle of the bromance, right? On one hand, we're able to go out, bust each other's chops, compete against each other, have a lot of fun with it, but then have the opportunity to work together to see really how good we are as a team and as a unit. And this is like from a non-strategy standpoint, this is pure like endurance, fitness, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know about you, when we were done with that challenge, I almost was a little disappointed it was over already. Like, I felt like I could have gone another 30 minutes running up and down those steps. I mean, we were shot. I'm not trying to sound like it was easy. It was not easy. But I love the way we work together. You telling me when to drop, then booking down, grabbing it, me telling you, wait. Okay, go. That was it, because we were on point every time we said it. And by the time we got back down the stairs to grab the next spindle, you saw the chemistry. It was there. So that, to me, I felt like once we did that challenge, that was like completing the bromance circle, so be it. Okay? A lot of homosocial love and hanging
male
out.
Male bonding
hugging.
Relationship.
I mean, we hugged it out nice at the end of that. I mean, that to me was the icing on the of the bromance cake right there.
I think it's interesting because I always tell people, I'm like, the show purposefully casts your best friends and your future enemies. And I think that it's, I mean, obviously rivals can be fun, but there's something about, you know, true love in an intense situation that is fun to watch.
I wonder if there was a scenario in which Dom and I would have started off not liking each other, and instead of having this bromance, or if we were on different tribes or something, instead of us having a bromance, we might have just had a different course and just not liked
bronemones. That's yes. Not how you say
bro-enemies.
Bro-enemies. The classic bro-enemies. 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 Is there a moment for each of you off camera, but like, or not off camera, obviously they're filming all the time, but that didn't make the show, that you were like, this is a moment I was like, this is my bro for life, regardless of what happens out here?
I have a moment that didn't air.
Okay.
And it was during the negotiation for more rice. Okay, so we were out of food and we desperately knew that we can negotiate with Jeff, right? Everyone, but his rule is you got to give something to get something. We're not just going to hand you more rice. You have to give something up. So we kind of went in like in this negotiating tactic, like we as a tribe. I think there was maybe 8 or 9 of us left in the game, and we all talked about it and said, look, what do you guys think? And I remember it wasn't such a popular idea to ask Jeff for more food. I think people were like, this is the game, Dom. You know, if we're starving, we're starving. And I'm like, I disagree. I think we should eat. I'm fat. I got to eat. So I think like without getting everyone's blessing, before the challenge started, I was like, wait, Jeff, I got something to say. And he's like, go ahead. I was like, listen, we're starving out here. We're out of rice. We got like almost no rice left. You know, we want to negotiate. He's like, my ears are open. What do you got for me? So we started really low. I think we offered him like a pot.
Gear?
Yeah, fishing gear, things we weren't using around camp. And he's like, you know me better than that, man. I need more. And I'm like, Jeff, I don't know, man. What are you thinking? And he said, I want your shelter. So without even consulting, without even consulting the other 7, I looked at Wendell and he looked at me and we both nodded yes. That was it. It wasn't even like a conversation for anyone else, because Wendell's like, I got the shelter. I was like, all right, you got the shelter. We got the shelter. We're going to do it. Again, not good gameplay. The fact that we pretty much ignored the other 7. But we went with it. We pulled the trigger. And what ended up happening was that was a reward challenge. And Wendell and I were on the same team for that reward challenge, I believe. And we lost. So it was now our responsibility to go back to camp and set up the new shelter while the rest, you know, the other four or five were on the reward. Is that right, Wynn? Does that sound accurate?
Yes. And I, if I'm not mistaken, after we got our butts handed to us in the challenge, then we had to, I think we were boated back to our island and we had to sit in the boat for a long time because they were like
dismantling our shelter.
Taj Mahal. Yeah. We had our shelter was unbelievable because we've been working for weeks on it. And yeah, when we got back, there was nothing.
Right.
But so, a big bag of rice.
I want to give the listener like a peek behind the curtain at this podcast. We've been recording on a program where we can all see each other. And sometimes Dom and I have been in here alone. Sometimes Wendell and I have been in here alone. When they get together, their faces light up. Like every time you guys are both in the same thing, you're like, oh, good. Okay. He's here. It is very sweet.
Yes,
it's true. You should see us in real life.
Oh, forget it.
I'd love to. Yeah. Wendell, do you have a moment, sort of behind, like not behind the scenes exactly, but something that didn't make the show where you're like, this dude is my bromance, not my bronemony?
It's hard for me to think of one right now. If I would have known that we had this question, I'm sure I would have thought of one.
You can come back another week on the podcast with the answer.
And it doesn't even have to be like a significant thing that happened. It just was more like small little detail, you know, small little things, just being around camp.
Yeah.
Like knowing, even waking up in the morning, right? I got up early a lot, Wendell, right? And we would go to this spot where Wendell built a bench between two trees overlooking the ocean at sunrise. It was ridiculous. And it was him and I almost every morning just getting
first
up.
First one's up.
Just like, what's on the docket?
So you're telling me the two of you would sit on the bench together as the sun rose.
Listen, if you
staring out into the Fijian Ocean.
If you saw
male bonding homosocial relationship.
I was going to say, if you saw all the footage and just cut down just the Dom and Wendell footage, you would say this is a homosexual relationship.
And I would support it. Do you think that your bromance was more romantic than some of the romances we've had on Survivor?
Well, the loyalty for sure, because the game's over 3 years later and we're still tight as hell. And a lot of those love relationships, minus Rob and Amber, don't exist anymore. True or false?
Seb and Jenna still.
Seb and Jenna, sorry.
That
love you guys.
That happened on our season.
I want to ask you this. If you guys were one team and this Sebastian and Jenna were another team, who would betray who first in a blood versus water where you're both pairs? You're now blood versus water with each other, and Sebastian and Jenna are a romantical blood versus water. Which couple betrays the other one first?
I'll start. If Dom and I were ever on the island together again, we would play our own games and see the lay of the land and understand how to play our best games. We've already, you know, we've had that conversation many times. Mm-hmm. Like, we both want to win. We're both players. If we had to work together, Seb and Jenna had to work together, and it was like, all right, who was going to, what team might self-destruct first? I mean, Seb voted Jenna out from Ghost Island. So, yeah. I mean, they have a proven track record of, I guess, some kind of cracks in there. So that's what I will say.
But also, I think, again, I'm not saying Jenna's not an independent woman. She is. But it's possible she would lean on Sebastian more from the fact that he's very good at, you know, living outdoors, let's say. Where Wendell and I could probably both handle ourselves. So if we had to go our own way, I'd say it's more likely.
For the former players listening that are going to end up back on an island with these two, while they were talking, they held up a sign that said, this is just a lie. we'll be ride or die till the end again.
No.
So don't listen to any of this. Don't listen to this podcast and let it fuck up your future game.
I will say something. This is a little inside baseball.
Okay.
What Wendell said not too long ago was accurate. He said something about if we played again together. Let's say, hypothetically, there was a phone call that went out to both of us And we both kind of knew that we were both invited to go back.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation was basically this. Look, I don't talk. I don't pregame. When you're my boy, you know, I love you. I don't pregame. I will work with you. I would love to work with you. But more than anything, the reason I would work with you to get to the end is so that I can have redemption to take you on in fire and get back a little dignity. All right. And I might lose, but at least I want that opportunity to go back and say, this is what I should have done the first time and didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So I would actually not get rid of him. I wouldn't cut his throat if we played again. I would actually want to work with him to go back to that point of the Final Four fire making so that I can step to the plate with him. And I believe in my heart that he would help that. He would help make that happen.
Being so passionate.
I believe it.
So, you know, in Winners at War, to be clear, do you know Winners at War when they cut to the like poker game where they all made the deal?
Mm-hmm.
I hope in a future season you're both on this and they cut to Just My Archetype being like, I listen to Just My Archetype,
right?
And Dom said it was him and Wendell till fire, and then they cut to this podcast. That's the dream.
Well, this isn't a video recording, is it?
No, it's not.
All right,
it's
so they
not.
Have to cut to the audio like, that is Dom's voice and Wendell's voice.
Right.
Yeah, it would be a black screen with like one of those audio squiggles. And it would be this recording. Listen, I am retired, but I would happily have CBS clip my audio podcast into the show. That would be an honor.
So you're telling me you're going to bring me to the end again, Dom? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to say to you what I've said to you in the past, which is, that's my dream, to be able to go back to fire with you. But the game determines what decisions I will have to make, right? The circumstances of the
he's
game.
He's already preparing his final tribal to you. You're sitting on the jury, Wendell, and he's like, the game determined it, Wendell.
This is why I cut you.
This is why.
You know what
the
I'm
game
saying.
Determined it. Tom, I keep interrupting you just to fuck with you. I'm sorry. I don't know you well enough for this shit.
No, you do know me well enough. That's why you're doing it. But listen. Let me say one more thing.
Okay, you say it.
I say this, Wendell or no Wendell, anyone that thinks they know they're going to be on a season with someone for the second time, my advice is this. Say these words. I don't pregame. Okay? And whatever happens in the game will determine if I make a left or a right. The circumstances of the game will determine who I work with. I cannot go into a game knowing I'm going to work with you if I don't know what the hell's going to happen in the game. If I don't want to have to cut your throat after telling you a secret handshake before the game started. So that's my
Wendell. Look at this smooth operator already. Jury management before he even gets out there.
That goes for
those listening. I just realized what kind of Survivor player Dom is. He's like, listen to the future people. I'm not going to make promises, but like, if we want to left together, we can left together. If we want to write, we can write together. That's the thing. I said, so when you're sitting on the jury, Wendell, this is, he'd be like, play Just My Archetype. I warned you.
Yep. You got my vote, Dom. Okay.
Oh, man. Well, there's nothing to worry about because there's nothing in the future.
Yeah.
I think
Dom will be on the island a lot sooner than me ever again.
And me. And I will say, right before this started, he said, thank you, Jeff, and hung up. He just got the call. You heard it here first.
I
am in a mood today.
Yes,
I'm sorry, Dom.
You've been drinking.
I think it's this East Coast like fuckery attitude. I feel like,
let me tell you something, Hannah.
Just
let me
not
tell
very
you something.
Polite.
I am comfortable with people like you. Okay, so when
me too,
when you tell me to go fuck myself, and you're my best friend. That's where I feel at home. That's how I talk to people all day, every day. So don't ever feel like you can't be aggressive towards me or tell me how it is, because that is what I love.
I appreciate that, because I think it's something that surprises people when they meet me, maybe because I am awkward and apologetic, but I'm also like an East Coaster. Yeah, I'm an awkward person.
Right, you're like Boston area?
Yeah, I'm from right outside of Boston.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, you have that Northeast scrap.
Oh, I've pushed my way into a World Series Sox game. Like, come on. Johnny Damon fucking waved at me.
Oh, you are legit now.
I'm legit. I know. It's so funny because I think I made fun of myself a lot for like sports and all these things. But the truth is, you heard it here first. When you're in Boston, you just learn the sports rules.
Sure.
Because the teams win all the time. Like there were constantly Super Bowls. I thought it was normal. I was like, yeah, there's always a Super Bowl parade.
Did you hear her, what she's
and then
doing?
I realized other cities all right. don't experience that.
I'm pretty sure once it's you move nuts. To LA, you're not allowed to boast about Tom Brady and the Pats anymore. That's it. You've left the area. So I guess
the only way to put it down is not to say we don't win is just to say you moved away because you can't deny that like Boston wins every time. You're like the only way to fight this girl being like Boston sports win all the time is to be like you moved. Now that we're staying on topic.
Smooth transition.
These awkward transitions we heard about.
I thought there were fan questions. Let's go. I can't.
There are. That's what I was trying to transition into.
Let's do it.
Thank you to everyone who sent in fan questions. There were truly so many. The excitement to have you both podcast together. How do I, it's like when a city other than Boston wins like a big sports title.
Oh my God.
That was the level. let's see. Survivor 41 Speedrun says, are bromances on the show products of the editing, AKA they bro down with everyone and the show just highlighted / exaggerated their friendship specifically? Or was it something that was apparent as extra bro-y to not only themselves and but also the rest of the players? Thank you, Survivor at Survivor Paper.
I would say that, in some seasons, bromances are more powerful than others. I think the reason why the Dom Wendell bromance was highlighted so much in our season was just really based on the finale of the game, right? Mm. And they did it in a really good way where one week you're not sure if Wendell has the edge. The next week you think Dom has the edge. So I think in our specific scenario, it's really based on the strength of like how the ending came about and the tie and all those good things. In other seasons, I mean, I never felt like they were pushing our bromance. So I don't know if that was the case in past seasons. Wayne, what do you think?
I think that editing is a powerful thing and they can make things look like things and they can probably accentuate friendships to go one way or another way. In our case, we were good friends out there. We were a true friendship out there. So they didn't need to edit it to make us look any more bro-y. That was it. What's up?
But I want to say on that note, think about how tight Laurel was in that threesome friendship, though. And they didn't include her as part of the tight three. They continued to make it look like she was flip-flopping when she wasn't flip-flopping anywhere. She was locked and loaded the same way we were. So that's a good way to really emphasize that question. Like, yeah, they could have shown a lot more of the positive stuff with Laurel with us to prove that it was not just a Dom Wendell, but it was really a Dom Laurel Wendell threesome. And it's the fact that they left her out of it, I guess, has a lot to do with the fact that she wasn't really involved in the final vote, you know, where she was a zero vote finalist. So, yeah, I suppose editing can have a powerful role in that fact.
Sarah at Feebaru asks, first, she says, super hyped for this one. Other than yourselves, do you have a favorite duo and or bromance from Survivor? Wendell, I know you mentioned Steven and JT. If/when it ever comes back, would you guys consider teaming up for The Amazing Race? So it's a two-part question. Dom, let's start with you with that favorite bromance since Wendell did mention his.
I got to jump on the Steve and JT bandwagon. It's obviously didn't hold every element that the Dom and Wendell bromance had. They had their own style, right? They worked really well together, though. And I think the contrast between Steven and JT is what gave them great balance as a duo, you know? And it's great. What's good about watching them is how they developed into a bromance. In other words, Steven was tiptoeing around JT, not sure if they would get along. And then JT never thought for a minute he'd be hanging out with a guy from New York. And then they just started speaking and agreeing and getting along. And I think when you have two people who contrast that much, you get a nice combination. Wendell and I also contrast a bit, but we're both Northeast guys and we both also get each other. You know what I mean? So we come from different backgrounds, but at the same time, when he says something, it doesn't sound like foreign to me. I get it. I know where he's going with it. I know the demeanor. So I would say I appreciated the Steve and JT thing. Also, I liked Tyson and Jervis, right? What was that?
Coconut Bandits.
Yeah, I like them. Those are my guys too.
Yeah.
Now, is The Amazing Race in either of your futures?
We haven't gotten a call, but I mean, we'd kill that. Wouldn't we kill that?
Yeah.
I
mean, we'd win it. You know that.
You heard it here first. Okay, a very serious question from Talking TV at Talking TV Oss. Prepare yourself for just like a heavy question. Who wore their island beard better?
I mean, I'd say when, and only because I didn't realize I was going gray on the island. Okay. So I thought I looked cool the whole time. And then when they showed us the mirror on day 39, I flipped out. I was like, holy shit, I look like my father. And I got all panicked and freaked out a bit. So as soon as the game ended, I went right inside and shaved that thing off. And now the gray is just exponentially getting worse by the day. So come on, Wen gets the trophy on that one.
You know what? I pride myself on my beautiful beard, yes. But I'm going to have to say, Dom, like on the island, man, you lost all of that weight, man. Yeah, you had that beard growing in, man. I don't know, man. You're looking kind of good out there.
We got to go back on that diet.
In a hetero, whatever the word is, way.
Homosocial male bonding relationship. David Andrew Schwartz wants to know, was it bro at first sight?
Yeah.
I think we've answered yes from the fist bump and the dap.
I will say, though, at first sight, during casting, I was a little shaky at first. There was a time when people had pool time, and I think everyone was just like hanging around the pool. Maybe some people were like in the jacuzzi. And if I'm not mistaken, Dom like jumps right in the pool, like either, I don't know if it was a belly flip, a belly flop or a cannonball or something. But I'm just like, why is this guy disturbing the peace? Everyone is just chilling. There's like a bunch of models out here chilling, and this guy just wants to be the center of attention. Who is this guy?
Yeah. So. And so funny. I remember that because I remember saying, you know what it is like? Here's why. Because you're being watched everywhere you go by these chaperones or production assistants, whatever the word is that they call themselves.
Handlers.
But you know that they're note taking, right?
Yeah.
So
they are.
I knew I was being watched by the handler and I didn't want to come off as timid. So I was like, how am I getting on this show? I got to be the guy who's going to cannonball while everyone else is reading a book right now. That's
honestly,
gonna help
Dom.
Me.
Yes.
Don't you agree?
Exact page. I went up to a handler. I said, "How's your notes going?" She was like, "Oh, I'm just texting." I was like, "Sure." Then I jumped in the pool and just started swimming laps.
See, and we both got on the show.
Wow.
So if you're in casting right now and you're by the pool listening to this podcast, if you're currently book open by the pool, take this podcast out of your ears after you download it, you support it, and then jump in the pool.
Jump on in.
It'll get
like a metaphor for life and taking risks. Just jump on in.
Jan Prib wants to know, I would No, not love. She would not love. I would like to know how they feel about the term bromance in terms of gender.
I've never thought about it that much, but go ahead, Wen.
Okay.
Interpret that as you will.
Yeah. So what's the term for when women are in such a friendship on the show?
Girls Alliance.
A girls right? alliance.
A female yeah, friendship.
True. A femance.
No. There's no such
you
term.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to turn this question around based on what you said and say, I like that you would clearly, it seems, include Laurel in your bromance.
Yes.
And that sure. that part was edited out of the show, whether she was a zero vote finalist or because for whatever reason, you've both seemed to be saying she's very much a part of this bromance.
Huge
she
part.
Was why we got to the end.
Yes.
But no, I know that game wise, but I mean, story friendship wise.
Yes.
Yeah. She was our sister out there.
A true affection for each other we had yeah. out there.
Like when we needed hugs, not from each other, like we got right. hugs from Laurel. She not even like she was with us the whole way and we were as close with her.
At night, I like literally Laurel and I slept by the fire on the ground and we talked all night. They don't show 1 second of that. Not 1 second. So
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, this question's from me. So yeah. At Hannah Lil Nessen. I'm curious, part of Survivor, you know, the original idea is different people from different walks of life. And we know with Steven and JT, who you've both mentioned you really like, you know, Steven said, I'm this Jewish guy. This is this farm boy. Like, how are we going to get along? How have you outside the show grown from being from different walks of life? Like, how has that evolved both of you as people outside the show?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I think we're good at teaching each other things, and I think we're both open-minded enough to learn from each other's experiences. When it comes to, you know, America's funny, it's been funny for the last few years or the last few hundred years or whatever. And I think that if someone is willing to open their mind and understand that people do have different walks of life and to try to empathize with those different people, then it allows for people to have friendships like Dom and myself. Cause like, I don't know if Dom, I'm sure Dom has seen experiences that I've gone through, being a black man in America. And he's been able to say, oh man, Wendell's my bro. And if he's experiencing this and if he's saying his truth, then I believe that this is the experience that he's living. And I think being friends with him, I'm able to see, oh, maybe whoever it is where you're from, they don't see things the way I see things. And I need to try to understand their perspective. And I think when you allow yourself to try to, I guess, walk in someone else's shoes, as opposed to just like, you know, putting up walls and putting up doors and what have you, it just makes for better relationships. And I think we're both good at that.
I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly right. I told Wendell time after time that I've lived in a world of naive thinking and just what I've been exposed to in my life and haven't seen the big picture. And like he said, it's been a wacky few years, but it's been really eye-opening. And I've leaned on him and said, dude, you know, where am I going? You know, what is this scenario? And he's talked to me about things. I've talked to him about things. And even outside of race and things of that nature, the show for me also just really... It taught me, Kellen, who I'm very good friends with still to this day, has taught me a lot as well. You know, and one thing I wasn't great at prior to the game was listening, I want to say. I would have it in my mind that my way is the right way. And I lived my life like that, unfortunately. And it wasn't until I was kind of you know, told, listen, you know, your point of view is nice, but it's not the only point of view, you know. And so between making new friends on the show, but Wendell being the most impactful, Kellen teaching me a lot of things as well, I've had my own little transition over the last few years since the game. And I'm a better person for it, and I still have a long fucking way to go. You know what I mean? There's no question about it. I'm learning things every day, but I think Wendell said it perfect. If you have an open mind, you don't put up walls, and even sometimes you're going to get a little irked with people who aren't on the same page as you. If you can take yourself and put yourself in their shoes, it'll at least give you a little flexibility to put up with a scenario that maybe you wouldn't have been able to put up with in the past. And the more people that could do that, the better the world will be, I believe. So I'm grateful to Wendell for that alone. Never mind all the fun we have, which is a lot.
If I could just cap it off with one more thing. Last year during the George Floyd and Black Lives Matter movement and what have you, when Ahmaud Arbery was killed, I put up a post, I don't know if it was a tweet or something, and I basically said that, you know, he was, what did I say? I said something to the tune of, like, it's safer for me to wear my law school paraphernalia and run in the middle of the street during the daytime than wearing in, you know, regular sweat gear and running closer to the yard of someone whose house I'm running by in the suburbs. And if this is a country where that's what I have to do to go on a jog, but someone that doesn't look like me doesn't have to do that, then I think we as a country have some work that needs to be done. And you know, with Ahmaud Arbery, he was jogging in Georgia and he was hunted down and he was killed by some guys that, you know, whatever. And Dom put a post up speaking about that instance, and I'd never had a friend, a white friend, that would go on a limb and publicly speak like that. In my super close circle, I have friends that I'm like, man, I just wish they would have said something with Trayvon Martin. I just wish they would have said something here or here or here or here. So many instances. And then these things like weigh on me and weigh on me. And then I'm looking at the people who I've known for 30 and more years, my closest friends. I'm like, man, I wish you guys, if you don't say anything to the world, I wish you would have said something to me, because you see me out here protesting. You see me out here shutting myself in my house. You see me out here crying and you don't even acknowledge it to me. So when I saw Dom post after Ahmaud Arbery, it brought me to tears, because I'm like, man, this guy that I literally just met a couple years ago, who has walked a completely different life, is able to speak on my behalf. He's a true ally. And I haven't seen that from my best of friends. And then people that are close to me that know Dom, like, I think it was Jervis that reached out to me. I think Russell Swan reached out to me. They're like, yo, your boy Dom is a solid dude, because he showed that kind of allyship. And when I saw that from Dom, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it a point to be a better ally to people like Bryce and to people in the LG, just to people in communities that I think could use better allies. So I learned that from Dom, from my own direct experience, and Dom stepping up kind of changed how I view and consider myself an ally. And I appreciate you for that, Dom.
Absolutely. I remember. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, and again, not, we're leaning away from the bromance topic, but it's important to mention, because, I don't know. It's loaded, but I do recall that post about him and how, like, how a black man has to wear law school paraphernalia to run, like, in a white neighborhood. And I was like, that just never occurred to me. And even though I know black people get shot and killed, that is kind of something I see in the news every day. But to hear something that sounds way less horrific, I don't know why it hit home with me harder, because I go for runs all the time. And when I do it, I don't think about it. And to know that there's people out there that have to like premeditatedly pick out specific clothing just so they can run in a neighborhood and be not assaulted, that baffles me. And what bothered me about it is that it only just recently came into my mind. Like, I should have been thinking about things like this. And now, so that now expands into what else am I not thinking of? What other things have I been missing this whole time? Which is why I said I've been naive on all these things. And that's why Wendell's been a great friend and, you know, tool, even, you can say, to open my eyes.
Excuse me.
Still, you know what I'm saying, though, just so I can see. He helps me. He helps me see things, and it's been great.
People have blind spots.
Absolutely. You know?
But anyway, what's the next question?
Yes, let's get on.
That was not. I just want to point out that that was not off topic at all in my mind. I think like whatever these archetypes bring up, whether it's like joking about, you know, looking at each other for negotiating the rice, or I don't know, the much more grounded life lessons you have learned from each other. And the fact that not only did you have this meaningful relationship, and did you each take something from it, but each of you like have an action step from it. Like Wendell, like you wanting to be a better ally to like your LGBT friends or communities where like you have privilege too. And like Dom being like, I want to think about what other areas of my life do I have? I mean, it's just,
yeah,
that was beautiful. At Blindsided Yazzie said, this is everything. And they don't even know how good this podcast is yet. So Yazzie, you have no idea. I only was laughing at this next question. I don't even need to hear all the game details, but I love that this guy set it up as him versus girlfriend. At Blake M. Couch, or just Couch, said, my girlfriend thinks that Dom should have won because he had flashier moves. I disagree and argue that Wendell deserves his win because he made moves quietly as to not ruffle feathers. What do you guys think is more important, making flashy moves or making friends? I do like the idea that this guy and his girlfriend sit in bed at night and debate you two. How do you feel about that as a concept as well?
I think, look, we're not going to get into the details of anyone, but the jury thought the same thing. Five thought flashy was good. Five thought under the radar was good, or not under the radar, but more smooth. Okay. And the answer is you have to have the perfect balance of both, right? You have to have good gameplay and you have to be smooth simultaneously. That's how you win this game. It's just a balancing act, and you have to play off the people who you know are going to be on the jury to find out what chemicals they like more, a little more aggressiveness or a little more smoothness, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's it depends on that jury. It's the jury. It's like you got to understand what they want. And like I said earlier, Dom was good at toning things down. He could have been a different player out there had he chose to go a little harder, like be a little more villainous. So it's about taking the temperature of every player on that island and trying to adjust.
Do you think that WOM, the combination, would have been a clean sweep of the jury? The perfect combo.
So, I mean, WOM kind of swept the jury, didn't we?
Yeah, that's true. I guess we don't have to speculate. Sour Cream Cake chose violence with their question.
Oh, snap.
For Wendell, what's better, a bromance with Dom or kicking it with Michelle?
Yuck, 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 yuck. Oh, man. Oh.
Bromance with Dom. I'll just keep this easy.
Bromance with Dom.
Yeah. Cher Nati asks, in light of Wendell's last appearance, is Dom also going to be portrayed as a villain next time?
Not if he wins. Not when he wins.
I still don't know why. Could you stop saying that?
Sorry.
I still don't know why everyone thinks I'm a villain. What did I do that's so bad? Besides that one time.
What did Wendell do that was so bad?
No, I don't think either of us are villains. I mean, if that's what it takes, if that's what pleases people, sure, I'll be a villain. I don't think I was that bad out there. Might have had one or two rough moments. Overall, I was quite the gentleman.
You weren't a villain.
Nah. Yeah.
Sarah Noir, at Sarah Noir, says, what's one thing that you two did that you wish had made the episodes, or something you're glad that didn't make the cut? Let's lean into that part of the question, since we sort of did some behind the scenes. What are you glad didn't make the cut? Also, shout out to Wendell for winning me $100 in my Survivor draft this year. Congrats, Sarah.
If I get one more person say that Wendell won them $100, I'm going to lose it. I must have heard that 400 times. Wendell, I won $50. Thank you. Damn it. Yeah, good job,
Wendell. About that, Don.
Way to pull out the win.
Well, the thing is, like, the majority of the country comments, Dom should have won under my, like.
No, so, Dom got robbed. Yeah, right.
Dom got robbed. Yeah. So there, I'd say a good 65 to 70% of the country thinks Dom got robbed. So that's, at least I get the thank you, Wendell, for winning me money in my work pool.
Right. Right. Well,
so what do we think? What was the question?
What are you glad didn't make the cut?
You don't have anything, Wendell? No. You just had a perfect game, didn't you?
No. Maybe I got some brain drain, like, it's been two seasons now.
Yeah, that's the thing. You played a season in between, so you're probably confusing 40 with 36, right?
Yeah, I'm just wishing more things made the cut in 40.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But anyway, 36 is what we're talking about.
Well, I had a moment that I wish I was happy didn't air. I was happy didn't air, and I think I told Wendell this once.
Yes.
And it was during, there was a moment where we thought Angela was going to go home. We were pretty convinced of it. And so that day, Wendell and I were doing work around camp, and Angela was putting a lot of sweat into her work, trying to be a worker bee around camp. And Wendell was like, yo, Dom, I feel bad. She's working her ass off, and she's going home tonight. And I was like, let's just squeeze every ounce of juice out of her that we can before she goes home. But I remember as soon as I said it, I felt so horrible. I was praying to the Survivor gods, please don't air that. My children are going to hear this one day, please. And I was sweating that episode that week in real time. I was really worried that it was going to air and I was going to look like a real doucher. So when it didn't air, woo! I was quite
relieved. Woo!
Yeah, I do remember.
But now it's airing on Just My Archetype, which his kids will also listen to. Danny's Stupid Thoughts, which is at Denny's for Days, says, holy moly, these guests. Hannah is killing it. He said more, but I just wanted to end on the compliment. Suppose both Dom and Wendell never played together and in fact played on different seasons. What kind of player, named or general archetype, either or, would both of you gravitate towards as potential bros, literally or figuratively? So by literally, do you mean pulled together in a homosocial male bonding hug? Yeah. What types would you have gravitated towards if y'all hadn't been on the same season?
What is the question is, if we weren't playing together, what other type of person would we gravitate towards?
Sure. Yeah. That seems to be the question.
I could see myself, but before season 40, before season 36, I could see myself gravitating towards like a Tyson. I think he's hilarious. He's a great player. You need people out there that'll, you know, keep you laughing sometimes when you're starving and what have you. And Tyson has a way about him where he can, even in the worst of conditions, make you laugh and make the cameramen and producers all laugh. So I think someone like him is someone that I would gravitate towards.
I like that answer. Tyson's fun, and he also keeps the attention off you because he's always, like, you know, doing wacky things, telling jokes. I like that. I feel like I would, like, if I played with, like, Jeremy Collins, it would be good for me just because we're both dads, and we're both kind of blue-collar guys, and we both kind of from, you know, Northeast again situation, and he's very even tempered, and I feel like I can speak to him and he wouldn't fly off the handle, and we could get a plan together and he would keep it locked and loaded. So that to me seems like the ideal type of player, someone who's good to work with from the, you know, sharing common things in life, being dad, something like that. But I would think someone like a Jeremy would be good for me.
All right. Our next question comes from Jackson at Jackson Farney, Jackson Farnsworth. Your third question was kind of answered, Jackson. So I'm going to focus on your first two. He said, two of my favorite players. My questions are, how did your experiences through casting differ? Did you feel you were playing up a type or personality trait when you started interviews?
I know that I thought that they were going to think I was a big New York guy, and I was trying to avoid
big
that.
New York guy.
I think, Jackson, had your finger so on the pulse that we did sort of, we sort of got to it. At Cody Nelson wants to know, who would win in a fire competition?
I don't know. Maybe
me.
One day we'll find out.
I think Dom.
A lot.
Well, yeah. Look, there may be the opportunity to answer that question sometime in the future. And I don't mean by
I will
being
say
on
that
Survivor.
Yeah.
When we were practicing for fire making, Dom was off in the distance and you just hear him like ting 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 ting. It sounded like he was a very fast fire maker. I will say that.
Listen, just making a lot of noise doesn't make you good at something.
Downplaying his skills.
Oh man.
He's setting me up for failure, Hannah. If I ever go back out there, I'm toast.
He doesn't pregame, but Jeremy Collins, check your DMs. Listen, a lot of people have asked this. They're all the handles asked. I know you sort of touched on it, but everyone wants to know if you considered targeting each other.
The thought definitely crossed both of our minds. Like, we knew it was something that might have to happen at some point, but it just never came to pass. The opportunity
I think if the opportunity was there, maybe one of us would have taken one out, but we both had loaded pockets and we both would have been so exposed if we got rid of one of us that we figured our best bet. Yeah.
The other one would have been next. Yeah. The stars would have had to been aligned for either one of us to take out the other. You know what I mean? The situation just had to really been perfect. And those situations don't always come to be. So you just go with your best.
And we trusted each other the most.
Game plan.
So, like, if I get rid of the one person that I really, truly trust, I mean, aside from Laurel, like, the masses would go after me. Because it's like, Dom is the guy I tell everything. Laurel's the lady that I tell everything. If I go at my most loyal people, that says a lot about me. And it will, you know, I just think that they would have easily got me out of there.
We have one final question. But to everyone who sent in questions, thank you so much. You're what makes this podcast so great. You guys bring so many incredible questions to the table. And if you didn't hear your question on this podcast, please continue to send in questions because there are great guests in the future, great guests in the past, and your questions highlighted those guests. So the last question is from Catherine W17. What did you both say to each other the 6 months between filming and the reunion? They just giggled into the mics together.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations from the finale from the last day in Fiji to the finale. That was like nine months.
It was a long time.
It was like a pregnancy.
One of the important things we said, we didn't want things to, you know, break our friendship, no matter how whatever is going to be portrayed or whatever people say. But another thing was we saw each other a lot during the nine months or however long it was. And we weren't supposed to have a public friendship. And we thought it would be a good idea to go with Chris Noble to the Brooklyn Nets game. And his roommate worked for the Nets. So obviously she was like giving us tours around the stadium. And then we get to these seats and I'm sitting between Chris Noble and Dom Mbate, two people that are kind of larger than life per se. And then the muscle man camera or whatever it is, you know how the cameras pan to people? The muscle man competition happens. And of course, Chris Noble has to stand up and show his guns. So he's on the like Megatron and, you know, we're not even supposed to be together. So then, of course, Dom has to stand up and show his guns. So I'm sitting between these two idiots who are having like a muscle competition on the Jumbotron when we're supposed to be a little incognito. Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Secret lovers, hard to maintain. I want to thank you both, first off, for coming on here, doing your first ever joint podcast. I've obviously known Wendell for a while. I feel like the first time I had a meal with Wendell, I was like, oh, he's lovely. Just as lovely as I thought, I was hoping. And Dom, this has been so nice to meet you on here as well. Are there any last things you want to say about the bromance, about each other, about anything? You have the floor, both of you. Also, thank you for doing my first ever two people at once interview. It's been a fun
challenge.
You can
call a threesome, Hannah.
Yeah.
You can call a threesome. It's fine.
Anytime, boys. All right. Well, last things y'all want to say.
I want to say thank you to you, Hannah, for inviting us on. And thank you to the listeners who sent in all those questions. I hope we weren't too long-winded. I hope this is a great podcast, but it felt really good. This threesome felt great.
Agreed. Hannah, thank you for having us. I also want to officially congratulate my friend publicly on his great successes he's had since Survivor and all the amazing things he's been doing on HGTV and Discovery Plus and in his business. And all that greatness, I taught you everything you know. You're welcome.
We had a question from John that said, Wendell, what is it like working with Cass from HGTV? How different is the relationship between Cass and Dom?
Oh, it's a little different. She's the Canadian organizing lady and Dom's the, you know, the New Yorker. But it's all...
I interrupted you, Dom. Keep congratulating him. I just wanted to know the fans are invested in your next adventures, Wendell. Sorry, Dom. Take the floor back from me.
No, that's it. I just wanted to congratulate him. And Wendell and myself have been in talks for a little while now, and we're going to work on a little side project ourselves. So hopefully you get to see something in the next weeks or months or whenever it might be. HGTV stuff, but something. But we realized that we work well together. And it would be silly to just let that dissolve into nothing when we can just create.
Let's create something, Dom.
We can create. So we're going to create something. We're not sure what the hell we're creating, but we're going to create something. So... hopefully you'll be able to see something in the near term.
What a tease. Where can people find you now before this big collaboration is revealed? Drop those handles.
Well, I have just my Instagram, which I think
tell them your Instagram
for this would know.
You're supposed to say your handle.
I don't even know it.
If you don't know his handle, good luck finding it, is what he's saying. Wendell, what?
Yeah,
what?
I don't know it.
Okay, we'll look up Dom's handle. Wendell, why don't you say your handle?
I'm going to say my partner's handle. Dom's is Dominic_Abate on Instagram. Mine is Wendell Holland on Instagram and Beeve Unlimited, BEVE Unlimited on Instagram if you want to see any of the stuff we're building.
And you can find me at Hannah Lil Nesson. Y'all, this has been a treat. I would happily join in anything you guys collaborate on too, because I enjoy you both thoroughly. And thank you for taking the time for Just My Archetype. Please tweet at us, tweet at me if you liked this and what your thoughts are and who you want to see or hear from next on Just My Archetype. Thank you so much, and hope to speak into your ears again in the future. Bye.